Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 23rd of April. This is one of those few months we actually have five shows in one month.
Right, because next week is the 30th. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's not even one of those months with 31 days.
No.
Such an education our people get from us.
Yes.
So I was telling you about how this new office is a little bit different. So there's some things that are different places that are kind of bothering me. One of the things is that—
You weren't actually telling me, you were complaining.
Kvetching. And so one of the things is that the clocks, the time and the date, it was at one computer. Now it's kind of that computer's to the side. So I don't know exactly what time and date it is anymore. I mean, I know generally. But I had to buy a little wall
clock.
All
computers have a time and date function.
I know, but I got to look versus just staring at something that is large and in my face.
So you had a big clock on the wall?
No, I'm going to get one.
Yeah, that's what you do. Put a clock on the wall. That works the best.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, what we're going to talk about tonight is earnings season. It's big tech week here. We're going to talk about briefly, very briefly, the Mueller report. Passover, of course, started last Friday. I opened up a bottle of the brandy. Easter was here. We had a short week. Good Friday, of course. A short week because of Good Friday last weekend. Markets are at all-time highs.
Yes, it's unbelievable. I just to back up on the Passover thing, though. Do you have to drink kosher brandy?
Well, you're supposed to have not only kosher, but kosher for Passover, which is a whole different level of kosher.
I've seen that on certain labels. Yeah. I didn't know there was a difference. I thought it was just somebody. I didn't know that was a distinction.
Marketing. Jewish marketing. Put the Passover on there. They'll sell better. No, there is a kosher for Passover, and you're supposed to do plates that are only used for Passover, silverware that's used for Passover. And there's a whole process of getting Passover or kashrut for Passover.
Special plate, special silverware. Did Macy's design this holiday?
It is a little bit weird, isn't it?
Well, it's extreme.
Yeah. So,
is it supposed to be better plateware or better glassware? I mean, is it supposed to everything supposed to be better, or could you just have a whole set of plastic stuff?
You can use plastics. I mean, we use plastics for the plates, but that's not because we're so religious. It's because we don't want to deal with the dishwasher. So, but there are a lot of things that go on and a lot of interesting stories that are told in the story of Passover, and it's called a Seder. And during the Seder, we spend time talking about, you know, that Moses and his trip out of bondage from the Pharaoh, the mean, wicked Pharaoh, and lots of other things. And we kind of sing songs. It's a lot of fun. I think it's fun. Have you ever been to a Passover Seder?
I have. I know people who have. The Gentiles I know who have, they've all gone to them. I have actually never been. I wonder if I would go, but I, to tell you the truth, I believe I've never been invited.
Well, you are invited to my house next year.
Well.
And you know there's two nights of Passover, actually. Two nights of Seders that you're supposed to do. Jews have a lot of two-night holidays. And I think it has to do with the mother-in-law wanting to make sure they get their shake at this too. So, anyway, market update. Oh, I'll tell you one other thing I did this week. So I had these kind of, you know, these, what do you call them? Age spots. What are they used to be called? Liver spots? Age
spots? Liver spots, yeah.
Liver spots. On my face, you know, from sun and all that.
Oh, on your face, that's terrible.
So I had, yeah, thanks. So I had, in the past I've gone for various laser treatments and they come back and. You know, you got to stay.
You can usually burn them off with liquid oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah. The CO2 laser and stuff like that. So this time I did the halo.
I don't know what that is.
This is a whole different level of laser treatment. So my face, I look kind of like a Chinese eggplant color, my face. This dark purplish nastiness.
Is it something they spray on you or what?
No, it's they numb your face, totally numb your face. And this guy even had a, he goes, listen, if you want the nitrous oxide, Just let me know. I'm like, okay, when are you going to start? He goes, in about 2 minutes. I said, I'll take that nitrous oxide, please. So he brought the tank over, and I'm just sucking down this nitrous oxide. My face is numb, and he does his little routine. It's almost like, he says it feels like when you get a tattoo, those kind of needles that go in you, but the laser, I guess, is peeling off a whole deep layer of skin.
Nice.
Yeah, so I when they finish, he goes, you're not going to feel anything until I finish. I'm like, okay. And I really didn't feel anything, especially with the nitrous oxide. So he finishes, and they take you to a different room. They said, we're going to cool you down. Now I'm like, well, I'm not that. I feel okay. Just as I go into the other room, I'm like, holy crap. My face feels like somebody put a splash Tabasco sauce over it and then ran a curling iron over it.
Huh. So that sounds unpleasant.
Very unpleasant. So for an hour, they ice bath you down. And after that, it was still a little bit painful. My face was red. My face the next day looked like somebody, like I had the worst case of poison ivy. This I look like Jerry Lewis. Remember Jerry Lewis? I look like Jerry Lewis.
No, nobody looked that bad. That's where his face swole up to be the size of a weather balloon.
So it was unbelievable. So right now I'm just in this darkened period. I got to put these creams on and the sunscreens on and this other oily stuff to keep my skin moist. I'm going to look so beautiful when it's all completed.
We'll see.
Well, let's talk about the market for a second. About 30% of the S&P companies are expected to report this week alone, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's at least good.
Yeah, a lot of companies.
Get it out of the way.
Yeah, it's been coming in fast and furious. I've noticed the same thing I've seen 100 times. Earnings come out, they beat, not for all companies, but a lot of companies that is ramping up. And then all of a sudden reality sets in. I'm like, wait, what did the company say? And then, you know, it's up 10%, 12%. Then all of a sudden it comes down. Whirlpool did that the other day. Snap did it tonight. I think Robert Half did it tonight. There's a few other companies that came out also. But this optimism, let's just buy in right when the news comes out. Let's just get in there because it looks good. And then they don't even look maybe what the outlook is or what the underlying reasons for the beat were or, you know, whatever. So we got to shoot first, buy first, ask questions later. And we're in that environment, of course, with markets at all-time highs, that everybody's, you know, goo-goo about, you know, wow, where are we going to go now? You know, the moon. To the moon. Oil prices have moved up also this week as Iran sanctions, the waivers on the Iran sanctions. So there was sanctions, but we waived them. So now all of a sudden oil prices moved up to, where are we now? We moved down today, 65.30. Yeah, 65.30. They were above 66 going to close to, I guess, 67. California gas prices topping $4.70 a gallon.
$4.70?
Mm-hmm. That's the average price in California.
Well, we can get around here for $4.
There must be other places that are in the fives.
I guess. Must be L.A. Yeah. Well, wherever it is, it serves them right. They could have voted down this ridiculous gas tax they added.
Never.
But the public was too stupid.
Because the public is too stupid, plus the people that write the ballots are crafty.
Oh, yeah. They did a great job on that one.
Because most people probably thought, I didn't see the ballot, but I'm just assuming. Most people probably thought that they were actually voting against, you know, against the whole.
It wasn't that bad. It was one of those things where they made this thing happen, the vote no on this bill, which was to repeal the new gas tax, which was just because the old gas tax has been stolen. Every gas tax in California goes like this. We need to tax gasoline to pay for our roads. And so you drop 50 cents a gallon on the gas. And everyone says, then the state says, you know, this 50 cents that we're not spending it fast enough. Why don't we use it for something else? And then pretty soon they take all of it. And then they said, they come out and say, we're not, the gas tax has been stolen. So we have to add another 50 cents on the gas to pay for our roads. And the same thing, it goes through the same process. And this is what happened this last time. If we don't spend 50 cents a gallon on this gas tax, our roads are going to deteriorate.
Right.
I mean, what about the other money that was being stolen? It's unbelievable what the public in California puts up with.
It's not just California. It's everywhere. I mean, here in Florida, they voted down this penny tax like 10 times. This last time, they put the penny tax in a way that was like, okay, well, half a penny tax here. How much, you know, half a cent. What's the big deal? But, you know, the problem is we don't have a state tax here. So the only tax that they get in besides for homes and for real estate and all that is basically from tourists or for consumption.
Yeah, they also have a lot of hotel taxes.
Oh, yeah.
And many states are like that, Washington State's being one of them. They have a profit center is speeding tickets.
Oh. That's a lot of places, though. I mean, like West Virginia is pretty famous for that.
Yeah.
Driving through West Virginia. And I remember getting stopped there one time. I
said, say it's 25. You're not doing 25, are you?
No, do you know why I pulled you over? No, sir. I don't. You were speeding going 60. Sir, I was going 50. Step out of the vehicle. You know? Like, okay, I'm done. So I was thinking about this market. I was thinking about how, you know, we are now back at all-time highs. And, you know, what was the genesis? And I think that the best thing that ever happened to this market was that massive December sell-off. Because it reset a lot of things. Analysts dropped their price estimates dramatically on earnings moving forward, thinking that, oh, we're going to get, we're going into a recession here. Huh. And on top of that, it spooked.
I liked it. I liked this theory.
Yeah, and then it spooked the Fed. And the Fed's like, oh, my God, markets are coming down. Did you read the piece I sent you on the Fed, the last quarterly I sent out?
Yeah.
And I talked about how the Fed has positions. And, you know, we talked about how Jay Powell is worth $120 million.
Yeah, all the money. Yeah,
I mean, they probably looked at their December statement and said, Jay, you need to stop this whole thing and people are freaking out. Let's get our portfolios to recover again before you raise rates again.
That's probably true.
That's what I think happened. I don't see any reason why that couldn't happen.
Makes nothing but sense, actually.
If you and I were in the Fed, let's be honest, and we had only the best intentions for everybody, and we are talking and we're looking at our portfolios down 10%, 12%, 20%. And I called you and I said, listen, John, it's not just us. Everybody's obviously losing money because we're really tightening too much. There's obviously a signal here. So, you know, why not get that thing going again? Let's get that machine rocking.
Yeah, we can always raise interest rates later.
Yeah, always put it aside.
That's not like it's going away.
Right. It's not like we have a certain time to do what we got to do. And well, while we're at it, our portfolios will look better because you know what? Eventually we're going to be fired or we're going to be let go or we're going to resign and we might as well have a decent portfolio on the way out. Economics, we saw existing home sales lighter than expected. New home sales came out better than expected, actually a lot better. 692,000 annualized versus 646 that were expected. So that was good. We have GDP this for this quarter coming out on Friday. This is the first read on GDP for the first quarter 2019, where I was looking for a significant decline. I was looking at, you know, 0 to 1.25% or something like that. Expectations now are at 2.1%. So this was, again, my discussion was predicated on the fact that there was a substantial amount of slowdown on an international basis around the world. And what we saw was, you know, the after effects and pull forward effects from the tariffs stop. But somehow, magically, we're making our way through that, which I guess I'll be wrong here.
Well, yeah, you might be, but I would wait.
Yeah, I'm not gonna throw in the towel yet. I'm not gonna admit any wrong yet. So I think after we get the full first quarter in, not that I'm stalling this, but after we get the full first quarter, which is the preliminary and the second and the third, and we'll see if there's any major changes otherwise in economics, then I'll throw in the towel here. But it is pretty impressive that we can get through this, with no inflation and with the markets doing well. This whole thing is pretty astounding if you think about it, that the tariffs hurt, the government shutdown hurt, insignificant amounts,
which
it's mind-boggling actually that the economy isn't slower than it is, or the slower that
gotta be driving some people nuts, like all the ex-Obamaites who always went on the thesis that it's never going to be any good anymore. We're doomed.
Yeah, 2.1% is not a wonderful number by any chance. It's not a terrible number. It's okay. It's 2%. If we can grow at 2 to 2.5% per year in a well-established and in a developed country like we have, I don't know. It's not like a stock that you have growth that's amazing, but we're talking about large numbers on GDP, and growing at 2% a year for a long period of time, that's just fine. I don't see any problem with that. If we can do that. I mean, it'd be nicer to do 3% or 4%. There's no question.
3% would be better,
Yeah, it'd be much better. And the last thing about this week coming up, we have Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook coming this week, and just a ton more stocks. We saw, we'll talk about Twitter, and we asked a Tesla coming this week also, which we do have to talk about the latest stuff. There's so many. He's become quite the showman. Well, he always was.
Become?
No, he was. But he's really just a media hog. Loves the spotlight.
Yeah.
Let's see here. This is a couple of things that are interesting. So about 25% of the S&P 500, the companies within the S&P 500, have reported earnings as of last week. 73% of them have beaten earnings forecasts. That's kind of standard. About 70% or so usually beat earnings, the EPS estimates.
Yeah.
But just 42% of companies have surpassed revenue expectations. So in other words, we're seeing that there's a lot of beats on EPS, but revenues are coming in short. So this is kind of something that is a bit of a warning flag, because unless companies can continue to tweak and manipulate and do a lot of financial engineering to pump up their EPS through things like productivity gains, through technology, through maybe working with the taxes, maybe buybacks, all these things, if they can't continue to do that, and we do continue to see revenues slowing as we are seeing, that's not the greatest recipe for markets.
No. Yeah. Well, these earnings, not the earnings, but the revenues have been, I think, haven't they been falling for the last decade?
They've been full. They've been better, and they've been growing for the good companies. But this is kind of a little bit different, where you're seeing that they're not beating the forecast. So meaning they're falling short on their expectations that they pump through to the analysts. There's something just not, and it could be because of the higher dollar, could be because of. So in other words, here's the thing. Here's the big issue. When you look at companies, there are two components that you can look at. One is, what are your sales? And the other is, what are your earnings? Sales can't be fudged. Now, you can bring a little bit into this quarter from next quarter. You can pull forward a little bit, push back a little bit. But you can't do much with that, right? I mean, sales are sales. But the problem is, with earnings, there's a lot of manipulation that you could do to get those things moving in your direction. So most people will focus on the earnings, and it makes sense. Listen, if you make $1 million a year and you have $500,000 of expenses, you make $500,000 net, and that's what your net earnings are. Okay. But if there are ways to trick the system on that $500,000 of expenses, say those $500,000 expenses, some of them really were an expense. I have the same earnings. I have the same revenue. But some of those earnings expenses are a little bit lower, and maybe we can move this around over here and change our tax bracket a little bit. So you could technically make less money and still have the same earnings that you had before. So everybody's kind of happy. But there is a time when some of this stuff gets exhausted, and we would have been there already if it wasn't for the new tax code that was put in that gave company, a significant amount of, a significant amount of opportunity to really goose their EPS numbers. So there you have it. Twitter's earnings out today reported first quarter, which is the March quarter, of earnings of 37 cents a share, which was 22 cents better than analyst estimates. That's a big spread.
Yeah.
Revenues rose 18.3% year over year to $787 million. The average daily active users, the monetizable daily active users, that's a new preface in front of the daily active users, because that means non-BS accounts. Not the fake accounts.
Mm-hmm.
134 million. That rose pretty much from 120 million. That's good. Monthly active users were 330 million. And they issued inline guidance. They see about 770 million to 830 million for next quarter. Expectations for 818. And the stock was up 15% today. Now, what's really interesting about this, I just ran a screen.
It's nuts.
Yesterday. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I'm going to pull this out. So in our managed growth strategy, we run these screens to find stocks that meet certain conditions. And it has to have growing revenues, growing earnings, expanding margins, return on equity that's certain levels, a whole host of things. So I was looking at this list, and I was kind of surprised because, you know what stock showed up on this list for the first time? And I can't, this was a week ago, Twitter. We're not ready to roll this out yet, this new list, because we wait for earnings and all that and a certain date. But Twitter's on that list. U.S. Steel is on the list.
Oh.
Which I found really interesting.
Anything else on the list?
Let's see. Got Amazon's on the list. Let's see. Cabot Oil. These are new ones. These are ones coming on. Costco.
Costco.
Estee Lauder. Fortinet. Canada Goose.
The hell's that?
You know Canada Goose. They make the jackets.
Oh, I don't know them.
They IPO'd a couple of years back. G-O-O-S. Turtle Beach Corp. I believe that's the technology for Turtle Beach Hardware.
Could be.
Kirkland. Let's see. Plains All-American Pipeline. Page Secure Digital. Teradyne. The Trade Desk is on here. Unbelievable. That's been all over the place. Yandex is on here. That's a Russian firm, I believe. Vishay International. Vilsa. Visa. What did I say? Vilsa?
Said Vilsa.
Visa. I don't know how I missed that one. But that was interesting that Twitter came on that list, meaning that Twitter's numbers are getting cleaner. That's how they made that list.
I don't know how they're doing it.
Well, they have the Twitter in chief that's probably helping out a lot of things. I mean, if a president is using Twitter as one of the most his go-to for announcements and for lectures and ranting, his stuff is kind of humorous. So maybe there's a lot of people that are saying, you know what, I'm not going to wait for it in the newspapers or watch for it on TV. I'm just going to get it, you know, follow him on Twitter. It's free to get a Twitter account. Why not?
Well, I'm surprised that people don't follow him on Twitter. It's kind of dumb not to.
You don't really have to, because your people are.
Most people will always retweet him, but
right, you retweet him or like it, and it comes on your stream that way. Very dry tonight. Got to keep drinking. Snap, you know, Snapchat.
Yeah,
still losing money, but at a slower pace. The stock was up 15% after hours in the report. But I think they finished, you know, I should look at this. I think they finished only up a few percent. Let's see. Let's take a look. Snap. I'm going to pull up the handy dandy iPhone here to snap. Let's see. They finished up 2.5% for the extended hours, where they were up, like, I think, because it was 3, 15, 16. They were up 12%. They only finished up 2.9. I think there's some reality there that they realize that they're losing money, but yet at the same time, I mean, Snap had its day for a moment, just a minute. And then, unfortunately, it was so easy to copy by the other players out there, the whole idea of stories, that they lost. You still don't use Snap, right?
Snap is used mostly by the kids.
I use it. I make funny faces.
Not the millennials, but the Gen Z, the Zoomers.
But I think they started using Instagram more.
No. They most of them gone to Snap.
I thought they went away from that.
Not my understanding.
Is it because of the idea that their messages are, you know, you can only see them once, then they supposedly disappear?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, all right. Herman Cain has withdrawn his name from consideration for the Federal Reserve Board. President Trump was praising him, the former restaurant executive. What was it? Hell Pizza or Heavenly Pizza or?
It's some famous pizza.
Godfather Pizza.
Yeah, Godfather Pizza.
Netflix, is stock is defying logic. Earnings came in above expectations, but they guided down on subs and outlook. The stock was down about 7-8%, popped back up. Finished the day when it came out last week, just a little bit in the green. I believe it was at the end of the day. Then kind of came down the next day when reality set in. And then that's it. That's all. Thank you very much. Company stock started moving up. It's up about 3 or 4% since after the earnings announcement. But I'll tell you something. This is almost a classic stock that is going to be vulnerable if the market pulls back. The stock is getting a lift because the Qs are hitting, you know, the NASDAQ 100 hitting an all-time high. A lot of money is being pushed into that ETF and into that sector. It's all, you know, it's automatically pushing up Netflix as well. If there's any vulnerability, I think this is the stock that would really be hit or can be hit in that circumstances.
I think definitely.
Yeah.
But I'd also put, well, in, under those circumstances, if you have a market pullback, I think Amazon would also be hit, and I think Apple would too. I think those are the big three.
Well, since yesterday morning, Amazon is up, I think it was down about 10 bucks, and then it finished the day up 25 and today up 35. So it's like 75 points from the low yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's at 1900 and something. It's coming out with its earning, I think, I think Wednesday night, Amazon's earnings. And what's interesting about Amazon's earnings is one thing. So we know how good the company has done. We know how, you know, all the things that they're doing. There's actually two things. Number one, was there a slowdown in consumer spending post the sell-off in the end of 2018 that is going to include this quarter for Amazon? The second thing is that Jeff Bezos made some really odd remarks about losing money and profitability and some things that were, I thought, were a little bit maybe a tell. Possibly. I'm not sure why he was discussing this, but he was discussing this recently, and I was thinking, I wonder if he's setting everybody up for a disappointing quarter.
Maybe. I don't think it's, or either that is sandbagging just to get, you know, to catch the blow out the shorts. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think he really cares about the shorts. Although he needs to bring the price of that stock up because he lost a lot of money to his wife. Or maybe his wife lost a lot of money to him. However it is, he has less of a individual. Let's see. Let me think about that. I mean, I guess he got more than 50%, didn't he? So I guess he didn't take so he's better off. I'm not crying for him. Are you crying for him?
Or her, for that matter. Yeah,
neither of them. I'll pass over. I did a podcast this week. The Disciplined Investor podcast title was Invest Like Moses. It was all about
Moses was an investor.
If he was, what kind of an investor would he be? Is the question I posed. And how would Moses invest?
And you're not talking about Robert Moses.
No. No, who aptly they named several beaches on Long Island for him and a causeway, the Robert Moses Causeway. Was he a builder? What was he?
He was a promoter builder. He's a Trump-like guy. Mm.
Back in the day. Boeing is coming out with earnings after the before the open tomorrow morning. And this now the news is just piling on this whole Boeing thing, right? You find one little flaw or maybe one gigantic flaw. And now all of a sudden everybody's crazy. Oh, we got to look into this. You know, this is the equivalent of all the things happen with the TSA where I'll bring it up because nobody else will. We have a shoe bomber. Now we got to take off our shoes all the time.
Yeah.
This is exactly what this is. Somebody had a little powder in something that was possibly a bomb or something. Now you can't bring powder on the planes. They don't think of this beforehand. They wait for something to go wrong and then they investigate. So what's happening now is that there was some interviews of more than a dozen current and former employees on a Boeing facility. And this particular facility makes a 787 Dreamliner. And after all these different interviews and all these different reviews of hundreds of emails, The New York Times reported on Sunday that the investigation reveals a culture that often valued production speed over quality. This is the thing I was telling you about a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, that I had a friend that approached me and kind of attacked me and said that everything that's going on in this world bad is because of Wall Street. It's all about profit.
There's a bunch of people out there that say that.
It's all about profit. So now all of a sudden we are valuing the bottom line over, you know, the human life.
And gee, that's so new. I've never heard anything like that in my life.
Yeah, when there's money when there's money at risk or to be made, people put aside all sorts of things. Look what happens with families. You have a brother and sister that are happy as can be, and their parents die. That's it. Done. They become vicious enemies because they want to get the money themselves, and there's too much that you got, and it's not fair, and they don't talk for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
I see it all the time. Boeing workers also filed numerous safety complaints with the federal government over issues ranging from shoddy manufacturing practices to tools and debris being left on planes, and workers say they've been pressured not to report regulatory violations to authorities. So we'll see what happens with this, but I don't know where this is going, but it's a clear pylon. Remember that game as you were a kid?
Yeah, pylon.
Oh, pylon, Andrew. Oh, no. And like, yeah, 10 guys just pile on you. You can't breathe. Well, according to Ripley's, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not, we have some Believe It or Nots going on here. Tesla said that it has sent a team to investigate a video on Chinese social media which showed a parked Tesla Model S car exploding. Did you see this video?
Yeah, did you see that, by the way?
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of smoke came out of the bottom, then kaboom.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was maybe in charge mode. It was being charged and the batteries.
No. There's no evidence of that. It looked like it was just sitting there parked and it just blew up. Now, what got me about the video is that there were people talking who were making this video.
Mm.
And they're yakking away about something. And as the car blew up, they just like, as though nothing happened.
Well, what would that mean?
It means something. I mean, if there's a video, and maybe they weren't watching the monitor, that's what it could have meant.
Well, why were they taking video of that car?
I think it was just the security camera.
Ah, so the security camera was pointed at that particular car, or maybe
there's a couple of cars.
And it burned the cars to left and right, too.
Yeah.
So somehow this car exploded. There's been a bunch of these seemingly recently. So this is being shared on China's Twitter. Who am I to think that there could be some kind of, shenanigans going on here where...
Yeah, there's a couple of Chinese companies that make electric cars.
Yep, exactly.
One of them rather famous.
Yes, NIO.
Cosme or what?
NIO.
NIO, yeah, that's the big one.
Do you think it's possible that they sent in somebody to do a little work?
It's the kind of thing Americans might do. The Chinese would probably take after us. The NIO is filled with American engineers. We have a No Agenda, one of our No Agenda Knights, American guy from California. He works for NIO.
So my question once again is, do you think this was possibly staged?
I don't think you have to stage it. I think these cars will blow up.
Oh, that's not good. That's not that. I mean, cars can blow up for a lot of reasons, but just not self-igniting. Remember there was the...
spontaneous Tesla combustion.
Do you remember there was a whole... Many, many years ago, there was a whole thing about people spontaneously combusting?
This goes on. This is not just a few years ago. I can trace evidence of spontaneous human combustion into the 1700s, has been reported.
See... It's not funny, but it's kind of funny.
It's always the circumstances are always the same, usually. Although there was supposedly a preacher who blew up in flames in San Jose some years ago.
Yep.
But generally speaking, you have to be a little overweight. You're sitting in an overstuffed chair, and you go up in flames, and you leave a pile of ashes, and the chair is scorched. Undamaged. It's undamaged. I've studied this.
More on Tesla. The electric car maker claims a California man who said is a part of a some kind of online group of short sellers. Okay, so back to this again.
Oh, yeah.
back to the point of they're after us. You know, they have it in for us. Short selling should be illegal. So there's this group of online short seller that has been stalking its Fremont factory and harassing its employees, including dangerously swerving his car, one of these guys, into a Tesla Model 3 that was on a freeway test drive and injuring a Tesla security guard in a hit and run on company property. So Tesla has persuaded a state judge to issue a temporary restraining order requiring the man to stay at least 100 yards away from its factory's employees. The problem I have with all this is, you know, you've met people that tell you things and you're like, okay, that's a reasonable excuse. And they tell you things and you're like, okay, okay. But, you know, all of a sudden things don't piece together. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, this story.
And it just seems to be a continuous story of excuses and reasons and that's not fair and it's you know, and things that are said that, oh, you know, I didn't mean that, I meant this, and it's getting weird. He's getting weird. And it got even weirder last night when he talked about at an investor meeting that he said that robo-taxis with no human drivers would be available in some U.S. markets next year.
And really?
This was from, I think, the Wall Street Journal. And this is how the Wall Street Journal wrote it. They said that. And then they said, continuing a habit of bold pre-announcements that may have investors excited while often missing deadlines. He said, probably 2 years from now, we'll make a car with no steering wheels or pedals. In 2 years from now. No
yeah,
steering
sure.
wheels or pedals. And their chip is the best chip in the universe, and everybody else is doing it the wrong way with the lights. And he's using more radar and something else and this whole thing. So this was the whole – now, the markets didn't react really positively today. I think they're starting to sense that there's a little exaggeration that goes on with Mr. Musk. Now, at the same time, we can't take away the fact that he's a genius. I mean, and the car is beautiful, and it does – ride, it's a lovely ride.
Oh, yeah.
And everything about it's great. But now they're starting, a lot of people are starting to call him a used car salesman. He's no better than a used car salesman. That's what he is. He's what he's turned into.
Yep.
He reminds me of Eddie Lampert, who was constantly trying to save Sears. In the end, he just couldn't. Now, Tesla's a much better product, but Eddie Lampert got so involved with Sears, and he did it for, I think, other reasons. But it's like the same thing here, that he just wants to prove this is a success. And I think once it is a success, if that day ever comes, he'll probably just walk away and just say, thank you. I'm done. Drop mic. Done.
Well, that day's a long ways off.
Yeah, it is. But do you think they were talking about like a million? Again, some of these numbers that he was talking about, like a million cars equipped as robo-taxis in like a year.
Yeah.
How do you get a million if you're only pushing 5,000 a week off the assembly line?
A lot of what he says does not add up. Maybe he's not that good in math.
Or he may be putting this robo-taxi software in every car that he's produced, or it's capable of, you know, because it's all technology, these cars, maybe getting the updates.
I think a lot of the features they have, because there was some guy that did a YouTube video on buying one of these Tesla cars with a 72-month loan. After all the taxes and rebates and savings, and he calculated it out to be about $72 a month to have the car, the Tesla Model 3.
Really?
And, yeah, it was a pretty convincing story. If there was more money involved, but after you plus-minused everything, turned out to be about $72 a month for the next, 6 years? So, 6 year loan. So anyway, in the process of picking his car out, they had these three options for the smart, the brains in the car. One was not fully self-driving, but it was kind of the thing that all these cars do. They lane control and all this sort of thing. Autopilot. And then this, the second, and then the first was no option, nothing. You don't get anything. First one was autopilot. And the third one was fully self-driving, which I didn't know they even offered, but that was $5,000. The other one was like two, and obviously you can pick nothing. I believe that stuff is all in the car. It's like an old IBM trick. That's where he learned it from. IBM used to have all these features that were built in, and then you sales rep would come by and say, would you like to upgrade your thing? And then the upgrade consisted of the sales guy going behind the machine and flipping a switch, and boom, you're now upgraded.
Right. It's like cable. It's the same thing with your cable, right? What do you got? Well, yeah. You have 75 MIPS. Okay, I'd like to upgrade that. Okay, we have to send somebody out to do that. Really? Really? Okay, what do they come out, they look at your stuff, okay, you're good to go. What do you do? Well, obviously somebody clicked it back in the main office.
Yeah. So this sort of thing, now what kind of surprises me, I think this is partly, I think I can explain it, but it seems to me that if this is true, what I just said, and it has to be, you could upgrade these cars, a third party could upgrade them, it seems to me, by hacking into the computer. And the reason that doesn't happen, I believe, is because Tesla tracks everything you do, and they have like, you know, a little running counter. It says, hey, wait a minute, this guy didn't buy this. And they would, you know, shut it down remotely. I think they can do that too. So this is too much. I mean, cars shouldn't be this complex.
I mean, same thing with outboard motors. Yamaha has a, is Yamaha Mercury. I think it's Yamaha. They have a 300 horsepower, which is the same as the 350 horsepower, which is the same as the 400 horsepower engine. Same exact components. I mean, exact. Same engine. The only difference is they put a different cowling or top on it that says 400 horsepower, 300 horsepower, and they do something in the electronics.
Yeah.
It's like you know, they overclock it.
It would be the equivalent, yeah.
Well, moving along here, bananas. You eat bananas? You like bananas?
Everybody likes bananas.
Well, you better get your piece of these.
The Cavendish banana is dying.
Seems that there's a deadly fungus,
yeah,
that's wiping out whole plantations, and there's a risk in Latin America of this fungus decimating the entire crop.
Yeah.
So there you go. Amazon said to me, in entering the market of free music service through its voice-activated Echo speaker. I don't know if that means that also the Alexa or just the Echo only, but there's some concern from like Spotify and other companies that this could be a real problem for them. I don't know. Amazon seems to tread into all these different areas because they can.
It's all an experiment.
One giant experiment, isn't it? We've come to the point of the show where we talk about a few things, like, for example, your participation. Because in a moment, we're going to announce the next closest to the pin. And in doing so, we want to ask you first to do what you do. Help us out with the thing we call the love of the show donation. It's a Valentine's Day today for DH Unplugged. Special day. Comes every year on the 23rd of April. And today's the day. So it's time to dust off the credit card, go to the PayPal account, click on the donate button over at dhunplugged.com, and give from the heart and the wallet all at the same time. Thank you.
Yes, please.
We are announcing a new close to the pin, which I have to put my guess in also. And it's going to be Lyft. I thought that would get people interested.
Yeah.
I'm going to be pretty impressed with whoever gets this one, because this thing is going to be all over the place over the next couple of weeks as we get this thing going. Of course, we have.
What's the symbol?
LYFT.
Oh, okay. Good work.
Yeah. This keeps it easy.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough one.
Yep. So go over to DH Unplugged, and you can enter your price.
This may be the hardest one we've done.
It may be. It really may be.
So first of all, it's a kind of a two-stage guess. It's first of all, you got to guess whether it's going to be going up or down. It's not like the normal stock you can see. It's kind of as going up. It's going to going up. How much up is it going to go? This is going up and down. It could go either way. And so you have to make a guess first on the momentum, and then the second one is the price. Isn't that, this is going to be very difficult.
I think so, because there's nothing to really, like I said, there's nothing to go on. There's just nothing.
Yeah, it's new.
Yeah, it's brand new. Have you been, I know you haven't, because you wouldn't, you know what? You think more of yourself than doing this. You wouldn't put yourself through this. The only reason why you would do this is to get material for the No Agenda show. By the way, folks, that's Thursdays and Sundays at 12. Now, I'm going to be over in, Austin on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's next Sunday. You're going to be there next Sunday?
It's not next Sunday.
No.
But I'll be there.
Try to catch you off guard.
I wonder if he's doing a podcast that day.
No, we're doing interviews.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep. Okay. Anyway, I'll see the new studio. I hope you're coming. That's all I'm saying. Got bets on this.
Okay. Oh, you got bets?
Yeah, of course.
Nice.
But again, you think more of yourself than this. And that is what I'm about to say. That all this town hall crapola. Oh, these town hall meetings. Have you seen any of these?
No.
Let me tell you something.
I think more of myself than to
oh.
When the debates began, which will be in June, these are all rehearsed. They're all scripted. It's dumb to watch them. I mean, you can see what's not dumb if you want to like see what the script says, but it's dumb. But when the debates begin and they have to actually maybe it still could be scripted. When they have to think on their feet a little bit, it might be more entertaining.
Some of the things they're talking about are so scary, and they're so transparent. Senator Elizabeth Warren, there was a time, I'll admit, I don't want to say I was a fan of hers, and I don't want to say that I liked her, really, but she has some ideas. I'm like, okay, you know, that's an interesting idea. Okay, I'll go, you know, let's see what happens there. Financial industry is out of control and you need to restrain them a little bit. Okay, I'm there. But her latest stuff is just an absolute bribe. She is now proposing using taxpayer money to basically pay for hundreds of billions of dollars in student loan debt as a way to control rising college costs. What an imbecile. I mean, seriously. And if you're watching this and you're thinking, well, that may be a good idea. Remember, what is she really doing here? And I'm serious. I mean, she is just simply going after what is low-hanging fruit that everybody knows is a problem in order to get those people that have student loans, which is pretty much all the young people in the country, right, to vote for her.
Yeah. In the hopes that she would be able to pull us off. You have to remember that Elizabeth Warren is a do-nothing senator. She always talks a big game, and she never does anything. So if you vote for Elizabeth Warren based on this, you're an idiot.
I don't know. I mean, and it's not, and I'm really, you know me better. I'm not one side or the other, but this is asinine. You know,
the backfiring aspect to it. It turns out that so many people have taken out student loans and paid them off that they're going to do everything they can not to get they're just being treated unfairly under these circumstances. They're going to get a rebate.
Right. That's the other problem. You know, who else is going to get
huge
this
problem?
Right. And household income of 100,000 to 250 and, let's see, 42 million Americans it would hit. It would help. I am all in favor, but this will also run up the price of college. If we do it now, what about the future? Are we going to see the government subsidizing college costs?
It's just nothing even worth it. She's done anyway. She's not going to cut it. She's not a real viable candidate at this point.
Yep. Let's see. U.S. dollar is approaching a channel high. Let me look at this here. I want to look at this chart right here. it's kind of coming back down again. Oh, no, it's at the high. And
it's like a buck 11 or something to the euro.
Yeah, the euro came
down.
No,
it's a buck 11 to the for the pound. It's a buck 11 to the pound.
112 on the euro. 112
for the euro.
Yep. And we're hitting that high again, which is really interesting because you wouldn't expect that to be the case right now with what's happening with the Fed drop, you know, not dropping rates, but keeping rates lower, even though the U.S. is strong. It's just a very strange condition. And you would wonder why there's not more discussion about constant dollar forecasting and excuses in the earnings that we've been seeing. But it is what it is. It can't help it. So what it is, what are you going to do? Walgreens is implementing a new chain-wide policy that will now require customers to be at least 21 years old in order to purchase tobacco products in the stores effective September 1st. I think Rite Aid followed. There's been some talk about through the FDA that they're going to require this. And to get ahead of this, these stores are already starting to implement this. Are you in favor of this?
I don't know. No, not really. And the reason is not because of the age aspect or anything else. It's just that these stores are the Walgreens stores, as they all the drug stores, CVS, Walgreens, they're already so empty. They all look like money laundering operations. I mean, in New York City, there's always one in, you know, right in the 28th and Park, you know, Dwayne Reed. Packed.
Yep.
It's two stores and the people are in there. But the ones that are normal, the regular stores all over the place, they're always kind of depressing to go into.
Well, I think I have the problem I have is just a very simple one. It's the simplest of ones that everybody will bring up. It's like, hey, wait a second. We could send our kids off to be killed in a war, but yet they can't smoke cigarettes at 18?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. They can buy alcohol in some. Is it 21?
Could be as ploy by Juul.
No, they're trying to stop Juul also. FDA is ragging on them as well.
Okay.
So here's some interesting podcast facts. I think I sent you this article that came out recently. There are more than 500,000 podcasts today. 500,000, most of which don't make any money at all.
You're a nobody if you don't have a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. It's the modern day author. You know, it's where people could, it's where, well, it's an involvement from blogging. And the problem is that a lot of podcasters don't know that they shouldn't be podcasting. I mean, it takes some talent.
That's most of them.
Yeah. And which is why none of them make any money. You know, they're just doing it to get on there to bitch and whine and to talk to somebody because they have nobody else to talk to.
Yeah.
Isn't that the case? They think they have an open mic right in their bedroom. They're probably most of them are living with their parents with a microphone. They have one of those Blue Yeti microphones.
They always use that mic.
Yeah, the Blue Yeti.
Which is a really mediocre mic.
Yeah. It actually has, you know, you could do it through USB, but you could also do it through XLR.
The mic is impressive in the way it's a DDA converter built in.
Right.
And it does have that versatility. But it's a big clunker. It has a kind of a
weird bass.
Slightly hollow sound that mm-hmm. I don't like. I have one.
The problem is it's you can't get close enough to it or in the right spot to talk to it.
Yeah, it's not a great product.
Yeah. No one company accounts for more than 20% of the market, and that's in the area of podcast repositories, I believe. You know, like the old Podbeans or
Podbean.
Podzilla or whatever's out there. You know, the pod something or other, Libsyn. Podcast made a total of, now you got to tell me how they've even figured these numbers. Podcast made $314 million in revenue in 2017. How do they count that? Because I could just tell you that's, there's ancillary money that's made from podcasts. There's direct money that's made for podcasts. There's money that's not reported made from podcasts. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on with this. How do they even, what are they thinking?
I think it's one of those things, I'm always bitching about this, where a bunch of editors get around at lunchtime, usually while eating sandwiches, and start making it up.
So they got the tuna sandwich, the turkey sandwich, and somebody's got the grilled cheese, the old grilled cheese with tomato.
Nowadays, they'll have a grilled cheese because there'd be a grilled cheese shop somewhere.
Right. With, and then they got a like avocado
egg
spread.
Salad sandwich, which stinks because the eggs are always kind of half rotten. That's the worst.
So you have this number they threw out there because they got maybe some information on one of the companies. They said, how much did you make last year? Well, we made, $8 million in total revenue last year. And they did some kind of an Excel spreadsheet to project this and come up with this bogus number. And they said, now the U.S. radio industry is a little more, I would say, not regulated, but it's a little bit more tried and true, and they can see what these numbers are. Supposedly, that made a total profit of $22 billion in 2017. So, you know, I guess, first of all, it's crap. You know what this is? This is what podcasting is all about. There's so much crap out there that it's ridiculous. It's like trying to wade through the swamp. No information.
Well, I listen to podcasts every once in a while, and I find that the problem with many of them is that they're very poorly produced. The people are – they're kind of – there's a little too much shooting from the hip from a knowledge base that is not there. You know, I think Apple's going to do this because I think Apple is going to – they've decided to do that, and I think you're going to see – you know, it's just I think.
No research.
No research, nobody bothers. And even if something could be researched, it doesn't get researched.
I think one of the interesting things are there are some very fascinating genres, like this whole meditation, relaxation, sleep aid component, whereas they have just noises. Like they have, what do I have here? This is a bottle of magnesium in my hand, okay? This is for, cramps that you get and stuff. You take a pill in the morning, it helps. And they have like a whole podcast. It's like, and then they may have two pill bottles. Another one will have two pill bottles, you know. And then maybe I have a bottle of water here and somebody. That's like the whole podcast. The whole podcast is that. They have, you know, some is water dripping. Some are sawing. Some are, there's a podcast with soda being poured into a glass, different size glasses, different sodas to give you different sound effects. You know, dropping like Alka-Seltzer into a glass of water, and what that sounds like. There's a whole genre. Seriously, there's a whole genre, and a lot of these are very popular. People that can't sleep, or I guess I'm bored.
I like the idea of dropping the Alka-Seltzer and then just putting a miking it.
Yeah. You know, probably like throat playing.
Yeah.
All sorts of things. Anyway, let's get over to the stocks. Let's look at what's going on over there towards the end of the show here. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of loss of some or all of your principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation, because we assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz & Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may own any of the stocks and securities mentioned, and we will disclose that on the website under the Weekly Stock Picks section. And simply go over to DH Unplugged and see the names that we discussed in this segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as additional disclosures over on DH Unplugged, and click on the Weekly Stock Picks button right after you click on the donations button. There we go. Take it away, sir.
Well, we've got a couple of companies have been kicked off, including one of yours. I think it was one of yours and one of mine.
Yeah. Smart Chain was mine. Yours somehow magically went up and came right back down, I guess, to the point, so you lost the money.
Yeah, I got gypped on that deal.
Weird.
It's still an interesting stock, and it was an insider, so it might still be worth...
It's out. Select is out. Oh, you want to redeploy?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Smartsheet's the one you loved. Meanwhile, my short of Netflix, which of course is always a gamble, it's down 4.6% on that.
You nailed that a couple of times, though.
I have, and I expect that maybe I can do it again. Although I have not done it on my own portfolio and probably never will unless the market collapses. Mm-hmm. Another one is the Aerojet Rocketdyne Holdings, which I just did on a whim, and also Walgreens Boots because I like that company. And it's, so I'm down. And including Medtronic, my old one up there, which was doing well, and then now it's down to down 1.7. DSP Group is up 15%. Church and Dwight, the people that make condoms, is up 14%. That was a good pick. Kinder Morgan, insider, which is always a good company to invest in it if it's going to go up, 4.9. Kraft Heinz, which is yours, 3.21. That's about it.
Yep.
Now you're adding.
I'm adding short on Snap after I see all the action after the numbers and the way the stock has moved from about 5 to kind of doubled, a little more than doubled, almost triple, I think, up to this point since the low back in December. But Snap, I think, is kind of, I don't know, just it was a good idea, good execution, but it just is falling off. So there's a lot of other IPOs coming out right now. We saw that there's Pinterest came out last week, and that did really well. We saw that Zoom Technologies, we have Uber coming out and several others. I think it's going to snap up all of the excess capital. And companies that are still losing money like this, I don't know how long they're going to hold on to it. This is not an Amazon.
Well, I will say this to condemn your selection.
Oh.
You have not been good with your social media plays.
That is a correct statement.
And I expect this to be another example.
Ah, thank you for the encouragement. You have any stocks?
Yeah, I'm going to play one.
Yeah.
And this is this is John Doerr, insider, director of this company. He's been playing on and off, and he's been playing it well. So he buys low, sells high, buys low, sells high. And now he's bought, he may be at the point of selling it, but the record of him just buying a bunch of it, $19 million worth, is recent. And the stock's already gone up, and it maybe have gone up too far. But it's AMRS.
Amaris.
They do specialty chemicals. The stock used to be a high flyer. And then it went down into the toilet. And then he's been playing it a little bit on and off, in and out. And now he's in again. And he got in at 2.5. I think it's about $5 right now. So he's already doubled his $19 million. Yeah. But I'm looking at this chart. And he's pretty good. I mean, maybe he's going to get out sooner than later, but I don't know. I think it's an interesting company because of its long history of being dead money. Yeah. And I also looked at Doerr's background and his insider trading. He has been dumping with great consistency millions and millions and millions of dollars for the last couple of years of Google.
Wow.
And I don't see any evidence he's ever bought any. He just sells and sells.
Well, he must have got it from somewhere.
Well, he got it from being a director, and he picked it as an investment from when they did Kleiner Perkins. He must have picked some up. But he's just dumping and dumping and dumping. I mean, this goes on forever. He's definitely not holding Google. So that's kind of interesting. Hmm. And I don't know what he's doing with all this money.
Well, he's buying Amaris.
Well, maybe. Because he bought the shares, he bought $19 million. Let me just read, for example, here's the sales of Google. Sold 3 million, 3 million, 11 million, 12 million, 12 million, 12 million, 12 million, 12 million, 12. He sells 12 million at a pop, sometimes three. 12 million. It's really weird.
He could be on a systematic plan that is automatically selling a certain amount per year.
Could be.
And then just making, you know, just going through the...
Because it looks like pretty much the same amount.
Yeah. Well, let me finish off with a couple things. I mean, we mentioned No Agenda, of course, on Thursdays and on Sundays, 12 o'clock, live streaming, chat room. And with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Of course, the Disciplined Investor podcast is also on Saturdays or Sundays. Lately, I've been doing some Saturdays. We have some great conversations there, some great guests. And a possible announcement of a new podcast that John and I will be doing. It's with the theme, and I brought this up because of the theme of relaxation type of podcast. And I thought that we would, this is the sound you're going to be hearing. That is the sound of a solar-powered calculator just typing on it. I think that can make people relax, don't you think?
It's relaxing me.
Anyway, I'll see you next week.
All right. All right. See you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.